whether I should come up here and do this with you now after all of that he said. We are family. Look at your neighbor and say, we're close now. Well, today, you get to listen to the number one person in my life. 42 years this December, right? 43? No, I think it's 42. You think I'm wrong? You want to bet? You do the math. She's never been good at math. But it's what a joy and a blessing it is to introduce to you my wife, Patty. Would you give her a big God bless you today?
Good morning. Isn't that why they made phones so we don't have to add? Don't you just use your phone? I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I'll figure that out in just a second. So this morning, I am going to talk about, have you ever heard that attitude is everything? I have. You can go through anything if you have a better or a good attitude. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story and breast cancer, something no one wants to talk about. You want to talk about breast cancer. But I want to tell you this too. Breast cancer is not only a problem for women, it can be a problem for men. We have known somebody we went to school with, and his mother had breast cancer, and eventually he died. And so I forgot to say in the first service, because of that, and because I have three sons who I love dearly, and I have grandchildren, girls and the boys, I did go through genetic testing because I wanted them to know, and I know some people are against genetic testing, so I wanted to mention this. I did go through genetic testing because I wanted to know if it was something that they had to be aware of. And because of that, it wasn't. It wasn't the gene that they had to be aware of. But I really felt like, you know how you leave something to your children? I felt like that was something that I could leave. I could give them peace of mind, and actually their mother could have great peace of mind. So that's what I want to talk about. Have you ever heard? Attitude is everything. Lord, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. We pray, Lord, that the words that I speak will not only talk to people who are facing cancer or families that have or people that have it. I pray that it would help everyone as they think and contemplate things in their own life. Bless this morning and bless my words. Amen. So I want to tell you just a little story because some people I don't know as well as others. It was 6 years ago that I went to a routine mammogram, and I never minded going for a mammogram. It was like something you did. I get up early in the morning. I love to get up early, and in my mind, I think about what can I get done before I have to go to work. So I was up early. I go like 6:45 to be in Rochester to have my exam, and they give you a coffee. They have earrings you can look at. This last time, I looked across the way, and there's my boss sitting, too. It's like, hi. But it's not something that I was fearful about. I didn't even think there would be a problem. It's funny because cancer does run in my family. My dad died of cancer. My mother died of my cancer. My grandmother died of cancer. But it was never something that I would have to face. Never thought about it. I've been blessed to walk this journey through life and not have memories and think about the bad that's going to happen. I've pretty much been a pretty positive person. But I'm going to take you down this road of my memories, the doctor's appointments, the surgery, the chemo, the sickness, the radiation, the more lab work and exams and whatever. And it goes on. Everybody wants to see you after you've had cancer. You continue having lots of appointments. But the memories that I have during the hardest of times, and I challenge you, the memories that you have during the hardest of times that you faced, you also have the best of memories. You also have a lot of things in your mind that said, we have no choice about what we go through. We can sit there and dwell on it and think about it and be upset about it. we do have choices of what we're going to dwell on. We can dwell on pain. We can dwell on trouble, struggles, present struggles, past struggles, and we can even worry and think about struggles to come. We can be mad. We can be hateful. And really many times for no reason, we look and blame other people. And if we took an examination, it would be ourselves that we should be mad at or think about what our mind is telling us. I didn't get a choice of what was given to me, but I had a choice about what I could dwell on for the future. You know, right now, a lot of us can dwell on COVID. We can dwell on, you know, the sickness, the this, the that. I just present to you, let's dwell on the fact that maybe we're not as busy as we used to be. Dwell on the fact that we get to spend time with our families. We get to enjoy our spouse. I know I do. I enjoy working from home. I enjoy spending time with Marty, maybe getting up early. And every morning, my husband brings me a cup of coffee. I'm in bed. He gets up early, goes to the gym. But before he does, he brings me a cup of coffee. And if I happen to be just a little later, and I get up just a little later, and he's gone, or I hear the door kind of close, and I'll look, and there's the coffee sitting next to my nightstand. So we have choices in life what we want to dwell on. Let me tell you what the Bible says about our future. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident in this very thing, that he that's begun a good work in you, he's able to complete it. Proverbs 3:5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I can remember that because that was what was taught to me by Miss Sipe in a Bible class when I was probably 8, 9, 10 years old. And then finally, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. If I have to say in a nutshell what to do in times of trouble, when it comes knocking at your door, one thing I would tell you is, first of all, trust in the Lord. You can't trust in, I'm going to get this treatment and everything's going to be perfect, because it basically isn't perfect. It's a whole lot better than what you think it's going to be, but it's not perfect. So let me keep going down memory lane with you. I'm going to tell you some of the things that I remember from 6 years ago. I remember I didn't have to work. I have worked for I got my 25-year letter from Strong that said I'd worked there 25 years, and I worked 20 years at St. Jerome when it was open, and I worked a year in Seattle. So I'm like, holy cow, I worked a long time, didn't I? And I'm still kicking. I still am working. Yep, Marty goes, amen. So I'll take you down memory lane. I didn't have to work. I was disabled at springtime. Does anybody know what happens in the spring? It's baseball season. You know why I know that? Because I had my camping chair. I had my black baseball cap. I had no hair. I had sunglasses. And I went to every single game that I could possibly get to. And in Oakfield, you go from one field to the next field to the next field, because I was watching all the grandkids play. And I was thinking after first service, somebody had talked with me, and I said, maybe that just kept me up. Maybe kept me feeling peppy, because I knew, you know, by the afternoon I'd have to be ready, get ready to go see the grandkids and sit in the sun. I was like, I just loved it. I also didn't have to hurry. This is my memory from 6 years ago. I didn't have to hurry. I didn't have to get up to be any place. I didn't have to go to bed at any specific time. I didn't have anything to hurry about. And can you guys put the picture up there? This is us. This is my man who brings me coffee. But when I was going through treatment, He was with me every step of the way. You know, you don't sleep so well. So he was with me at night when I wasn't sleeping, in the morning when I had treatments. This is my partner, and happy birthday. Besides my wonderful family that I felt love from all the time, I felt love from many of you that are still here right now. I can remember meals being delivered. I can remember it was getting to be summertime and I was still having treatment and I wasn't working, and vegetables, baskets of vegetables. It was really wonderful. I was really blessed. Bearing some challenges, I was able to function really rather well. Functioning well meant a lot to me. I was thankful for the moment. I was thankful right where I was. I was happy and I knew that the Lord was with me. We talk about the Lord being with us and never forsaking us, but you don't really know what that really means until you're in the middle of a struggle, a real struggle that no one can help you with. The doctors do their best. Your family does their best, but the Lord's with you through all of those challenges. I can tell you the Lord was with me. So when you face a health crisis, I was thinking of this because I've worked in the medical field, and I'm not a nurse and I'm not a doctor. I send bills. So I do some of the things that nobody wants to know about, sending you a bill. But there are medical benefits of having a positive attitude. And I'll tell you what they are, because I went on the internet and started looking them up. And known benefits of a positive attitude: it lowers your blood pressure, decreases heart disease, it helps you with your weight, lowers your blood sugar, and lowers anxiety. Don't all of us need that? So the Bible even says in Isaiah 26:3, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust you." It's trusting in the Lord. Where do we, or where should we go, and where do we put our trust except in the Lord? We should constantly examine our hearts. Every avenue of our life, Proverbs says, guard your heart, for everything you do flows out of it. We all have choices in life, not just with cancer or any other challenge that we have. Our attitude means everything. How are we going to face a challenge? What kind of attitude are we going to have? The Bible says, watch your heart, because above all else, everything you do flows from that. So let me tell you a story. I don't need my notes because I remember it very vividly. When I was getting the message ready, it was like I just kept writing and kept flowing, and this came to me. When you have a chemo diagnosis and you know that you get this letter that tells you everything that you have to bring for chemo, it tells you to bring a drink. It tells you to bring a snack. It tells you to bring gum. It tells you all this stuff to bring in a little goodie bag. Now, I am a rule person. If you tell me that I should bring gum, that I should do this, I do it. Unlike Martin, he does not follow the rules. But I had my little bag because that's what they told me to do, and I'm thinking, I don't really chew gum a whole lot, but you know what? If that's going to help me, maybe it's some medical thing that I don't know about, I should bring gum. So I had all my things, and I was going to check in, and I know about checking in, managing a medical office, so I got myself checked in, and behind me was another couple. It was a lady and her husband, and she was the one that was going to have chemo. We went to the spot where the nurses, you know, they're so nice to you. They want to be nice to you. They want you to have a good experience, even though it's a bad experience. So they take you, and I sat in this corner that had two windows around. And I'm thinking, well, this is the kind of a nice little spot for me to sit. I wasn't upset. The nurses were nice. I was a little scared because what was going to happen. And this lady came behind me with her husband. She was as grumpy as could be. And I was like, I wonder why she's that grumpy. You know, just thinking, you know, we're both doing the same thing. Well, you know, she sat down in a chair, which I have to admit I had the better spot in the corner with the windows. But she sat down, and she was just irritated at everything. She was irritated at the nurses. She was irritated about her spot. She was irritated because people looked at her. I looked at her because she was so grumpy. I just wondered what was going on. So in the end, they put her in a private room. They had to move things around. They put her in a room, and they closed the door. Do you know that every time I went for treatment, that lady was there, because we must have been on the same treatment plan, every time she went in that room all by herself. Now me, I got to sit in the corner chair most every single time, and I met some people. I couldn't tell you who they were now, no connection. Just, hi, how are you? You know, just people that were going through the same thing that I was going through. And I can tell you the nurses were so nice and so pleasant, so nice to Marty. Marty was a mess when we went through chemo together because he cried every single appointment. They sent him every week, every time that I had chemo, they sent him for coffee. It finally dawned on me, they sent him for coffee. He offered, he wanted to go get coffee because it just bothered him so much. And me, I was like, yep, go get me a skinny vanilla latte, extra hot. And I learned to appreciate the kindness and what people were doing for us. I didn't want to be alone. I didn't want to be locked in a room. I didn't want to be upset about everything and everyone around me. I'm telling you this story, and I tell this every year, not the same parts in the same story, during breast cancer awareness, because I want you not only to hear my story about cancer, I want you to know the story about God had me in the palm of his hand. I want you to know a story of sitting in the sunshine watching my grandkids play baseball. I want you to know that there's a story of people around you that show love, and a story of healing, not just my physical, but my heart. So now I can stand here and I can tell you the story of what I remember back from my treatment. I don't remember being sick so much. I don't remember not sleeping at night. I don't remember those things. I remember one of the most pleasant things was just watching the kids play ball in the sun. I want you to remember all these things. It wasn't always easy. It wasn't exactly what I expected. But when I look back, and I was thinking of a scripture, what fit what I went through, I wonder if you'd all stand with me. And I want you to, if you would recite with me the 23rd Psalm. I think it just means a lot to everyone when you go through something. And just repeat with me, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Give the Lord a praise, will you? What a beautiful message. Let it be so in our hearts. As I was sitting there listening to you, you were so peaceful. But if you know my mom, she's got some fight in her, amen? And I felt that for someone in here this morning. You got a fight ahead of you, but God's going to give you strength. He's going to give you hope. He's going to give you peace for what you have ahead. It looks bigger than you are, and it is, but it's not bigger than He is. And He's going to give you the ability, the strength, the hope to move past it. If you receive that, just lift your hand as we leave. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to declare that we fought the good fight, that we fought through, that we pushed through, that we pressed through, and that now there's in store for us a crown of righteousness. I pray that on each one in this place. Father, that You'd lift up their eyes, You'd lift up their heads, Father, to where our help, where our hope comes from. Our hope comes from the Lord this morning. Thank You for that. Let hope arise in someone's heart, in someone's spirit, and someone's mind in this place. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give my mom one more hand?